It's always wonderful to see God's gifts in action. And, we certainly just have some very talented, gifted people. It's always such a blessing. I was telling Brother Daniel the other day, we come in here, and I mean just four or five notes come out across that piano, and you can already sense the presence of the Lord just coming right in, you know.
That's right.
And that's so wonderful, so wonderful. So we really appreciate that. Appreciate what the Lord has done in this little group. If you have your Bibles, we just want to go ahead and begin to read the scriptures this morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord with you today. Looking forward to a nice day of fellowship and just see what the Lord has for us. Mm-hmm. We want to read in 1 Peter chapter 4. We'll start reading at verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Let's wait a moment for everybody to get there in the scriptures. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. It's not a strange thing that Christians go through trials, right? That's what he's saying. He says, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, or you should be, right? Happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he's speaking of those who persecute you, right? On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them be that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. Nice reading. Amen. Let's just bow our hearts to him. Lord, we love you. We thank you so much for your word. We know, Lord, that it is the bread of life for us. And so, Lord, we know that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of your mouth. We love you, Lord, and we just ask, God, that you'd come into this place today, that you would subdue every spirit that would be contrary to you, that would try to hinder your people from tuning in this morning. We pray, God, that you would just anoint each one of us, Lord, that your words would be able to be spoken this morning in clarity, with your anointing, Lord, and that you just have your way among your people, that which you intend, Lord, to be accomplished today. We surrender this service to you now, and everything is said and done in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. And please pray for me today. It's been a rough week for me. I don't know about everybody else. We had a really good weekend last weekend, and I always forget that when you have a really good weekend of in the Lord, look out. Yeah. It's always that way. And then, of course, I remembered that during the week. And so it was a rough week, but praise God we got through it by the help of the Lord. We live by the grace of God. That's all there is to it. We live by the grace of God. And so we're thankful for that. Mm-hmm. Amen. So today we're going to call this Christ in All Things Part 2. There were things I didn't get through the other day when we did Part 1. So we just kind of want to just pick up and continue on. Maybe real little bit of rehearsing of some of what we said the other day. We'll leave that up to the Lord, how much, what, and when. But Christ in all things. And, you know, like I said, you pray for me. So, you know, I have noticed over what few years I've been on earth and watching people and counseling with people and just, I am a people watcher. I guess we all are to some degree. But I have noticed that pretty much people are going to do what they want to do. They're going to find a way. They're going to find a way to justify what it is. And so you realize most of us, we eat what we like. Yeah. Right? We go after it. We go for the things. I think I seen some beans. Might have been, I think, some pinto beans maybe back there. Is that what it was? Chili. Okay. So I looked at that. Well, you know, that's appealing to me. So we go after the things that we want. We eat the things we want. And if you don't like it, you don't normally go after that, right? So people in their life are going to go after what they have a hunger for. And so they'll figure out a way to justify satisfying that hunger. And so I've noticed that. And so I want to try and just remind everyone today why God sent a prophet. God doesn't do something just for nothing. And any time through history when he sent a prophet, there was something major happening.
Right.
Always. And somebody can say, well, you know, they can argue about whether or not Brother Branham was a true prophet of God or not. But he had the mark there. It was and so God sent him for a reason. And that is because we needed it. We need it because man had got everything in such a mess, and God would come and pull us out of that mess. And so we want to remember that as we go through the things I want to share with you today, because I'm going to read quite a few notes. I have 7 pages. I normally have 2 or 3. Don't worry. I'll try to go through it. But I want you to hear what this prophet has said. Listen, if I don't stand here and tell you what he said, I'm a deceiver to you.
Right.
And see, even my own thoughts have to come subject to the revelation of this hour.
Right.
See, I remember back when I first gave my heart to the Lord, and I loved the Lord, but I had not been quickened to revelation yet, to how it works. Mm-hmm. And so I had a little while there but my wife can tell you, I studied, I read, I wanted to know these truths. And I'm just telling you from my own testimony that I saw where you could intellectually study and you could come to a conclusion in scriptures and say, this is the truth, only to find out later that it wasn't right.
Yeah.
And until I come to the understanding and realizing revelation and how it works and to know when it's revelation.
Yeah.
See? And so I'm telling you that without revelation, I don't care what somebody says and how well they make it sound, without revelation, it's a bust.
Right.
And so, I want you to understand that you've got to come to that place too. This thing, this life you live must become a revelation. It can't just be what you think. It can't be what the majority says. It can't be just what sounds good, but it has to be revealed. And when it's revealed and it's from God, it will line up with this Bible. It will line up with what God has done in this day and the revelation of the things that have come to pass. It'll be amen all the way.
Right.
And so I just want you to remember those things as we go through this morning. So Christ in all things. And I believe that a true believer who has a born-again experience, one that Christ has truly been revealed to, then they'll want Christ in all things. They will want Jesus Christ in every aspect of their life. Every decision they make, they'll want to make sure that it glorifies him. Because once you realize exactly who he is and what he's done and his presence here among us now, what he's here to do, then it is a true Christian, I'm saying one that truly has been quickened to him.
Yeah.
Then they want the whole world to know about him. They want the whole world to be quickened to him and see his glory. And they want to see every person on the planet of the earth living and glorifying God.
Right.
That's the desire of my heart. I want every last person on this planet to catch the revelation of Jesus Christ, and that every act that's committed on this earth every day, it glorifies God. That's our desire. And I can't settle for anything else. I can't be at peace if I see anything else. If I see anybody living some way that's contrary to the gospel, it just, you know, grates at me inside, because I want to see Jesus Christ glorified. Right. And I say all that to say this, that even in ourselves, so much of the time, we oppose ourselves. We oppose, you know, because we're in flesh. But I'm talking about the desire of the heart of a Christian who has the revelation that you want to see Jesus Christ in all things. So, you know, what Brother Ram says, what is the new birth? Well, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. Right. Not just what everybody in church does or what most of the people believe. But when Christ has been made alive and real to you, that's the new birth. And when you have a new birth, then you're birthed into something, into a realm, into a kingdom. When you were born into this world, you were birthed into an environment, a place for you to live and a place for you to go and for you to do and express. And when you have a new birth, you are born into a realm for you to live and to express and to do all the things that the life that you've been given in this new birth is to do. And that birth that you've been given is a birth into the Word, into the realm of the Word of God, the revelation of Jesus Christ. A whole entire world that's there for you to live and to express and be what God wants you to be. Yeah. It's a different world than this world. Yeah. It's a different birth than this natural birth. Right? The natural birth passes away, but this one does not pass away. So we're born into something, and it's that something we live for and that we express. Right. More than this. This right here. This world. This flesh. If you read the first of the chapter, he talks about it. He says, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. That's what our whole life is as Christian, is to no longer live to the lust of man and even your own lust, but to the will of God, for that realm that you're born into. That's what we're born into a reality, a realm and a reality that supersedes everything in this world. And that's what we should live for. And so, we want to see Christ in everything we can. Every aspect of our life, in our marriages, in the way we treat one another, in our jobs, everything. We want to see Christ in those things. See, in the spirit realm, the prophet tells us we have imagination, conscience, memory, reason, and affections. And I don't want the devil using any of those. Right. I don't want him using my imagination, my conscience, my memory, my reasoning, or my affections. But rest assured, he wants to use them, and he tries to use them, and he does use them if he's given opportunity. But I, as Christ in all things, I want to see him in everything in the natural, and I want to see him in everything in the spirit. I want to see him working in my imagination and my conscience. I want to see him working in your imagination and your conscience, in your reason, in your affections. And if I see something else working in you other than that, I can't stand it as a minister of the gospel, because I want to see Christ in all things, both naturally and spiritually. And if I see something different, and I trust that, I hope you as Christians say, amen, brother, I know what you're talking about. We've got to see Christ. It's got to be, give me liberty or give me death, right? Give me Jesus Christ, that kingdom to come. Let that be done on earth as it is in heaven or else, right? We can't stand it if there's anything else going on. When you see it in your own flesh rising up, trying to defeat Christ in you. You can't stand it. You see it in your brothers and your sisters. You see it in politics. You see it in the world. You just can't stand it. Because you're born to a kingdom. A kingdom of righteousness. And so, we don't want to see Satan using any of those things. We want to see Christ in all those things. In everything. And so, the scripture says, we read this the other day, whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all of it in the name of Jesus Christ. Giving thanks to God and our Father, who is our Father. Because when you do everything you do in the name of Jesus Christ, it is giving honor to your Father, to God. And when we do, when Satan can use us in any other way, then it's not a glorifying to God. It's contrary. And so, we want to do everything that we do, word and deed. And when I'm talking to someone about baptism, I'll say, is baptism a deed? Everything you do in word or in deed, right? Do it all, including baptism, in the name of Jesus Christ. And so we want to do everything. And especially, you know, people watch. It's like just listening to different ones. My son-in-law was telling me, he said, I've noticed that my little girl, he said, his parents taught him. And listen, they look at everything you do.
Sure.
And they mimic everything you do. And so everything we do, especially big events, especially traditions that we do, something we do every year or something we do often, we want Christ in it. And we can't stand it if Satan is glorified in that even one speck. That's a true Christian's desire. Because Satan is our enemy. And he does all kinds of things to try and destroy the kingdom of heaven. And so we desire God's will to be done. And so in all of our celebrations, our holidays, our birthdays, whatever it is, we want to see God glorified in that. Why? Because he's the one that saved us. He's the one that deserves worship. No one. You know what? Somebody told Brother Branham one time, said, Brother Branham, you're right. He said, no, I'm not. He's right. And this is what we must remember. God's not trying to vindicate me or you or anyone else. God vindicates his word. And so we don't want to be found trying to vindicate ourselves or vindicate this or vindicate. We just want Christ to be glorified. Let him come and speak. Let him show that he's the omnipotent one. But so much of the time you see people pulling things to themselves. You see it out there in the world. You know how it is. We don't want to do that. We want to see him glorified in all things. And so especially big events like our holidays and the different things we do. In our holiday celebrations. And so, I'm going to read some of the things. And I know the other day when I preached the first part of this, all Christ and all things, you know, I wasn't just talking about Christmas. I'm not just talking about Christmas today. I'm talking about every aspect of your life, every holiday, everything you do must lift him up. And so, I'm going to read some of these things, and you know, surely you know I love you, okay? But if I don't tell you what this man said, then I'm a deceiver to you. And if I don't take the gift of God in my life and try and let you see the whole picture of what Satan has done in this world, and how that it might affect you and keep you out of the kingdom of heaven or keep you out of the full blessings of God, to help you see that you've got to fight this fight of faith to hold to every word of God that he has given and that he has so clearly displayed to us in this day, so wonderfully brought to us a ministry that can bring this before us and let us see these things. A voice that's vindicated we can look to and say, that voice had the presence of God with it, not a bunch of other ministers with all their comments and their ideas. But a vindicated voice that God says, you better listen to that one because I'm with him. Amen?
Amen.
And so, I'm going to be reading some quotes today about Christmas and about different things. And I want you to listen. Because we are in the last days, as Brother Daniel prayed, that rapture so near. And brother, sister, everything's got to be just the way it's supposed to be come that time. In our experience. And so I'm not up here preaching fear or nothing like that. I'm just telling you, there is a revelation of Jesus Christ in this hour, and it changes the way we think, right, and the way we live, and the way we express in everything.
Right.
Amen? So here's the things that Brother Branham said, and there's lots of things. I mean, you could read for the whole day. But let me remind you that his job was to come here and say to us, come out of her, my people.
Amen.
Come out of her. Because you've got to step back and look at the whole picture and realize that Satan came and he took every nation outside of Israel, when he called Abraham, took every one of them into idolatry.
Right.
And then God called Abraham and said, I'm one God, serve me in Israel. And so out of the whole world, right, how many of them believe in one God? Right? Took the whole world into idolatry. And then in the New Testament, took the whole world right into idolatry again under Christianity and all the other religions they have out there besides Christianity. And so God's purpose of sin here today was to come here and to reveal this thing, what Satan has done back there, and it started in the garden, to reveal it to us, to call us out of it, so that we're no longer in that system. We don't think like they think. We don't act like they act. We don't do the things that they do. We don't teach our children the things that they teach them. Right? Do you think God wants us just to partly come out? He wants us to come out totally. Come out of her, my people, so that you're not touched by anything she does.
Right.
That you've been free. Free from all those things that are there binding us. Free by coming into the birth of the realm of eternal life, not these things. Satan can't give you eternal life. What he has to offer is not heaven. It's not the revealed word. It's all this down here that he's got his access to right now. But our birth is into a different realm. And he's here to call us out and say, come out of that, my people. My people. Well, I don't think God would say that if we weren't there. He said that because why? The whole world was caught up in the false nonsense of Satan's program. And you have to quit using your thinking and let God in his word and his revelation bring you up and let it be revealed to you what truth is. Because if it's not revelation, somebody else will come along and be able to talk you out of it. It must be revelation. And I can't give you revelation. Brother Daniel can't give you revelation. You've got to get it from God. But let me make sure you understand. You need to come to this, into the place where it becomes a revelation from God. And it will agree with the word if you have it. So, Brother Adam's telling us, read these quotes because I didn't read them yet the other day, but I'm going to read these, so I want you to listen. The falling apart of the world. This was in, he's preaching this in December. He said, now the first word, Christmas, is a kind of a Catholic expression because it means, and he spells out C-H-R-I-S-T-M-A-S. It means Christ Mass. See, and it was ordained or began with the Roman Church. And Christ was no more born on the 25th day of December than I was. He says, Brother Branham, we know this. He said, it's just a complete conglomeration of dogma. That's all there is to it. The whole world, as as the prophet said, has become a putrefied sore. Look what he's talking about. And he says, the whole world, because they all do, the whole world, maybe not believers, but the whole world, has become a putrefied sore. That's right. It's just no clean thing nowhere. Every holiday is backed up by why Santa Claus took Christmas place, the birth of the manger, the rabbit and the chicken and new hats took the resurrection. And where does God appear in all of it, all of that, in all of this at? See, the reason is because that man and commercial, you know, Brother Rem, he's going to say something and he'd change his thought. So the reason is that because that man and commercial, why they started buying Christmas presents months ago, and what is it but a heathen trait? They started buying Christmas presents months ago, and what is it but a heathen trait? You know, I like gifts too. We all do. Remember what I said the other day? Satan says, I'm going to make this where it's going to be really hard for people to get free from it. I'm going to make it so the peer pressure is so great that nobody can get free from what Satan's done. And this is it. Brother Graham said it's a heathen trait. Do you still love your prophet? Listen to this. And if this grates against you, then start talking to the Lord and say, God, what do you mean?
Right.
What do you mean by this? Because he said this. It's a heathen trait. There's nothing about it godly. Oh, they say giving gifts to the wise men. He said that's just an oasis for the devil's excuse. You know what an oasis is? You're out in the desert in hot places or whatever, and you need a place to go where you can rest. And so when people say, oh, you know, wise men and giving gifts, and he said that's just an oasis for the devil's excuse. You still with me? You want to give something, it's your life to Christ. Don't give to one another, give to him. That's what he died for. That's his purpose of coming, see? But it's got to be a place where it's a curse to little children. A neighbor down the street can have plenty and the other little fellow don't have nothing, and they look, and it's just the whole thing is altogether wrong. That's all. And the merchants raise their merchandise at these places. You're talking about how much money they make and how much they do. He said, my wife, we went to get something for the little fellas the other day, and he said 3 weeks ago, and they said, we've already sold out. Made a double order of stock, and it's already sold out. 3 or 4 weeks before time to even start shopping. It's talking about the commercialism. Because it said that she, Babylon, that the merchants were made rich, right? Through her. Right? Oh, what a big commercial setup it is. And after all, do you know how Christmas ever began? This is what we call Christmas, Christ Mass, he says. Here's the story of it, just a little jot I wrote down here on paper. And I want you to listen to what he's saying here. He said, I went and checked this out myself to make sure this was right, because God's going to hold me. That's what he said. I'm reading to you. He said, I've just completed in this last year, before I had the seven church ages and taught them here, I took the Nicene councils, the pre-Nicene councils, the post-Nicene councils, the Nicene fathers, and Hyssop's Two Babylons, and Fox's Book of Martyrs, and all, because I've heard ministers quote it, but I wanted to read it for myself and see so that I would know when I read it or said it to people, because God's going to make me answer at the day of judgment what I say to people. So I've just got to not say what someone else has said, they read. I want to read it myself and know. So Brother Bram's telling you, I checked this out myself. These things that he's saying. And so he goes on, and I've condensed this a little bit so that it doesn't take forever. But he starts talking. He says, I can prove and show you. He talks about God reflects himself in nature. Everything natural. And he said lambs aren't born in December. And he shows that even nature testifies that that could not be Christ's birthday. He said this was all done by the Roman Catholic before it became the Catholic Church in Rome about 306. Now we find out that the Roman pagans worshiped Jupiter, not the planet Jupiter. From what I understand, it's a god called Jupiter. Maybe the planet had something to do with it. I don't know. But it says, we find out that the Roman pagans worshiped Jupiter, which was a sun god, and they worshiped Ashtaroth, which was the moon god, or otherwise the mother of heaven. Now listen to this. Who did he say did that? The Roman pagans. He said, well, now to bring it down, what's he talking about? They pagans do that, but how did it get into Christianity? Now to bring it down, they said that Ashtaroth, or God's mother in heaven, was no more and reflected herself in Mary. So they took this goddess or whatever that they had worshipped as pagans, and they changed it and said, oh, now it's Mary. Bringing paganism into Christianity. Because Mary was, you know, Jesus' mother, right? So this is trying to make it okay. Think about it. Try to make it okay. Oh, yeah, she birthed Jesus, so she's got to be a significant figure. And they were, oh, yeah, well, guess what it is? It's this other pagan god is now living through her. That's what it is, right? And here's what Brother Bram said about it. He said, reflect itself in Mary, and so it still remains idolatry. Connecting Christianity to idolatry. And then also they suffered or worshipped or respected the birthday of the sun god, which was Jupiter. See, now, after December 21st, the days will start getting a little longer each day until it comes down to July, and then it starts shortening up. And he said, that's just a relaxing time. And the Roman pagans said that was the sun god's birthday from December 21st to December 25th. They had the Roman circus, the chariot races, and so forth during that time. Well then, when the Roman Christians, right, when the Roman Christians added their dogma to get both sides, both the pagan and the Christian, both sides, to do that, to get both of them, they said, if it's the sun god's birthday, let's just make it all together the son of God's birthday. There's your 25th day of December for your mass, Christ mass. I'm reading him verbatim. Wow. Oh, what a terrible thing, see? Now, well, you'd say, well, wouldn't any other day do? Wouldn't any other day? If you're saying, well, the December 20th, this is not. That's not his birthday. Well, wouldn't any day? He says, yes. But to connect Christ with pagan, the very thing he came to abolish, they connected him back with it again, see? That's the thing that's wrong, says him. To try, and it's nothing but a heathen trait that's been brought into Christianity, and the whole world under Christianity observes it and don't realize they're idolaters. You say, Brother Tom, that's strong. Well, let me just continue. That's the thing that's wrong. In Santa Claus, some old man in Germany named Kris Kringle would go around and give kids presents on Christ Mass Day. That's what he said. Christ Mass Day. He was a Catholic. And they made him a saint. And now it's called, he's Saint Nicholas.
remember when we were wrote all of our bylaws and we gave it to professionals to look at. And in our bylaws, it mentioned saints because we're saints while we're living, right? We're saints if we're gone on too. But in the Catholic system, you're not a saint until you've gone on and they make you one. In other words, if they thought what you taught and what you stood for, if they felt like that would fortify the Catholic system, they'd canonize you, they'd make you a saint, and now people could pray to you. But our Bible says the saints that are at Ephesus or the saints that are at Colossae or Colossians or whatever. See? And so, but they make, here's this guy, and they made him because he went around and he would give presents to them on the Christ Mass Day. He's got to realize way back then, it didn't start out, we're going to have presents, but it was Christ Mass Day, something that they instituted, and then this guy goes around and he starts giving presents to everybody, and then they think, we can use this, and so they make him a saint, and it's Saint Nicholas. You follow me? Saint Nicholas. He was a Catholic, they made him a saint, and now there's Saint Nicholas. That was all in one sermon. Now we're going to go to questions and answers on Hebrews. Brother Graham's talking about the two prophets that get killed. He said in the church, that the church and the remnant of the Jews, when they finally kill these two prophets in Revelation 11, and they lay in the streets, spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, where our Lord was crucified, and they send gifts to one another, the world does, what he said in parentheses, the world does. He said, now, Brother Palmer, here you are. Look back into the Roman history, and you'll find out there's only one nation in all the world that ever sent gifts after a battle, and that was the Roman Empire. But when God has gives gifts sovereignly, talking about God gives gifts to us, right? He sent them on high and then gave some gifts to men. And those gifts, he said, will manifest itself. That's right. See, that's the gift of God. That's what he sends to his church for overcoming. So he's showing you, see how Satan is anti and he tries to do some of the same thing? He said, God, when you're an overcomer, he gives you gifts. Blesses you. Melchizedek blessed Abraham, and the scripture said the lesser was blessed of the better. God give gifts to man. He sends it to his church that overcomer. Now the Antichrist has something like a pro or con. It has the perverted way of doing it. And that's the Roman Empire, which sent gifts one to another. Natural gifts. God sends spiritual gifts to overcomer. The Roman sends natural gifts to one another. A heathen trait. I'm not telling you can't buy a gift for someone sometime through the year, whatever. That's not what he's talking about. See? But the thing is, they took a pagan thing and they brought it into Christianity and tied Christ to it. And you can see what he's saying here. Christ don't belong in that pagan ritual. And like I said the other day, you mean to tell me that it takes the Christmas season and the Christmas spirit to get you into a mood where you can be kind and do great things for people and give gifts to them rather than living by the Holy Spirit 365 days a year? The Holy Ghost should make us full of joy and be able to live for one another, do things for one another. Right. But the whole world comes along and it takes a Catholic holiday to get them so joyful that they can have a good time for 30 days. That's right. There's something wrong. And this prophet came to bring us out of this stuff. See, and I'm not just talking about Christmas. I'm talking about everything. Everything. Every holiday. Everything we do. Every teaching. Every doctrine. Every action. Every mindset. Come out of that into the revealed word of the hour, which is a kingdom we're birthed into that will live throughout eternity. send those things to overcomers, or to their, to, you know, when they win a battle. Let me find where I'm at in my notes. This was what your prophet said. Do you still believe he was God's prophet?
Right.
See, it's not about, oh, I like that, I'll accept that. It's about truth. It's not what I like. It's not what you like. But it's what God has said in his program. We must come to that. Because that's, let every man's word be a lie, but God's word be true.
Right.
Is it okay to baptize in the name of Father, Son, Holy Ghost? We'd say, oh, Brother Tom, we've been through that long. We know that's wrong. Of course we do. Mainly because the prophet is he's taking us through that. But, you know, you have people's like, well, it doesn't matter. Brother Graham tells you, people say, well, does it really matter how you're baptized? As long as you're a Christian, as long as you're baptized, does it matter? Brother Graham said, it does matter.
Right.
He said, if you're baptized in any other way than in the name of Jesus Christ, it's an adultery baptism. Right? But just so we can tie it, because I've quoted this before, but just so we can tie it, so you can look at it yourself in the sermon called Messiah. He says, show me one place in the Bible where anyone was ever baptized using titles, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Or read it in history and tell me until the Catholic Church was organized, anybody was ever baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He said, then I'll walk out of the pulpit. If you can show me that it was done somewhere besides in the Catholic Church when they started, that's what kicked it off. He said, I'll just walk out of the pulpit. I'll do the same. Brother, sister, this is a life and death gospel. This is not just, we're not just a lodge. We're not just, you know, getting together and having a good time. The heathens do that.
Mm-hmm.
This is a life and death gospel. This has got to be right. He said, I'll walk out of this pulpit. He said, it's a Catholic creed. And every man or woman baptized that way is not baptized into the church of the living God. Then what are they baptized into? This is a man who had that pillar of fire and an angelic visit every day. And God vindicated him. And he's telling you that if you're baptized in Father, Son, Holy Ghost, you're not baptized into the church of the living God. He said they're baptized into the Catholic Church. That's their creed. Show me in the scripture, show me in history, anything outside of the Catholic Church ever did it. And he said, and remember, he come to call us out of that, right? Listen to this. He said, and Luther brought it out. Right? Luther come right on. Father, Son, Holy Ghost Baptist. He brought it right out with it. And Wesley after him. So Luther had it. Methodist had it. He said, here we come right down. Each one of them churches down to that said, he's not denied my name. But when it come over into the Thyatira church age, he said, you've got a name. That you're alive, but you're dead. And so Brother Bram is going back again to the church age, and he's showing us that them early churches, they had his name. They had his name. But at the same point in history where the Catholic Church brought this in, then he had to say, he didn't say, you got my name. He said, you've got a name, and you're dead. And you keep right on down, and you'll find out that at the end, he'd bring that name back again to the believers. And there's other quotes where he says the same thing. You're baptized into the Catholic fellowship. And they know that. The Catholics, their opinion is they own you. You belong to their system when you've been baptized with their baptism. You think Satan doesn't know this? You think Satan doesn't sit back and laugh and have a good time when Christians, Baptists, Methodists, Presbyterian, when they take someone and they baptize and they say, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, you think he's not laughing? I guarantee you he is. Because that person's not been baptized correctly at all. I'm repeating him. So he said, well, does it matter? I mean, you know, I'm not Catholic. I'm Christian. Then why are you being baptized with a Catholic baptism? I'm not Catholic. I'm not a heathen. Then why are you doing a heathen trade? See what I mean? It's that, listen, God has sent gifted men to take this message and share this with you so that you might understand, so that you in your prayer and through revelation and over the pulpit, you can come to the full understanding of what God has brought to us in this day to come out of these things. You can say, well, brother, I've heard from different preachers. I ain't never heard nobody say that. I'm bringing it right to you out of the message. Because remember, when we get under the influence of something that's wrong, we kind of see it that way, and it's hard for us to see it different until we get out from underneath that influence, and then we look at it and go, man, that was wrong. I should have noticed that all along. That's right. It's a hybrid. Remember, we were not supposed to mix, and it's a hybrid religion. The only gift that we can give is ourself. If you look at the wise men, the gifts that they brought, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, those gifts testified to who Jesus was. Did they not? And I read it a while ago, brother, it said, if you want to give something, don't give it to someone. You give it to him. You give it your life to God. They brought gifts that testified that he was king and that he was priest and he was going to be a sacrifice. And I'll tell you that let your gift, your life, let your gift testify to who he is. Right. He's a savior. He's a healer. He's a guide. He's a comfort. Let your life, your gift that you surrender to him, testify that he is a healer, that he is a savior, that he is a comfort. How do you do that? By living for him. Showing a testimony. I'm telling you, he is a healer. He's a savior. I've experienced it. I'm telling you, my life, my gift to give to him, to live for him, testifies as who he is. That's what we do. And then let God give his gifts to us. Gift of the Holy Spirit. Gifts of the Spirit. Gifts of to be able to minister whatever gift that is to the body of Christ. So, we realize we want Christ in all things. And we must realize we want to be identified with him. And I'm not talking about just our holidays, but we want Christ so on display that the persecution that comes to him lands on us. And if we're not living that way, if that's not landing on us, we're not living it. Because the scripture said, I quote it all the time, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And so much in the scripture, we just read just a little bit there about who we are as Christians and that we're going to be persecuted and that we should rejoice when we know that Satan has put a bullseye on us and we're being buffeted by him and we're being struck at by him and persecuted by him through others or whatever because it's for the gospel's sake. Because you realize Satan is out to defeat Christ, and anywhere Christ is, that's what he's going to fight. Amen? So we want to be identified with him, and it's an honor to be identified with him. But when you do that, If it's done right, then you become a target. The apostles, if you read about it there in Acts chapter 5, verse 40 and 41, if she wants to bring it up there, this is after they had Gamaliel and stood up and took up for the apostles, and it said, he said, you know, leave these men alone because if it's of God, it'll come, you know, you'll be fighting against God. But if it's not of God, it'll come to naught. And so all the council agreed And when they had called the apostles, they beat them. They commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And what did the disciples do? Did they boo-hoo? They go, oh, no, we're... No, it says they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for his name.
Right.
I'm not telling you to go out and do something just to cause it. But I'm telling you, if you're living the right kind of life, Satan's after you. And now I'm shifting here. Christ in all things, not just in all the things that we do like that, but Christ in all things in such a place that we know that Christ is in the trials. That Christ is in all those things. So, Peter said for us to rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings. In other places he talks about, you know, well, if you suffer because of your own faults, well, that's... But listen, when it's Christ, when it's because of the gospel for righteousness' sake, as we've been reading in Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount, when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake, you're blessed. And so, we must realize that we have joined, we are part of the body of Christ, and Satan is after him. So we become a target. And so we've joined to a body, and this body is a body of pain and sorrow and rejection. It is. Oh, our day's coming. But that's what it is. And so if we're not going through trials, not being persecuted, we're not living it. So we say that we understand this. We say we understand what I just said there, but too often our actions make it look like we don't understand this. We're still in a mode where, you know, we're serving God because we do have good. Yeah, we have trials, but we have a lot of good. But what if everything turned off bad? Would you still serve it? What if, as the prophet said, the bride will be bereft of this natural goods? Would we still? If I stood up here and called you dogs, you say, well, you're not Christ, so yeah, you probably would get mad at me. But think about it. If he said, oh, you know, we're not supposed to give the children bread to dogs, that didn't run her off. And I'm just saying, you know, we live in a pretty good country, but what if things got pulled away from you? What if you were stricken with something? What are you still going to serve him? Are you still going to rejoice and know that, brother, sister, we're coming out on the other side, and I'll rejoice because Satan is afflicting me or whatever because of Christ, because I'm living, persecuted because of it. And so, you know, we so much of the time we want it easy. I read this the other day, and I'll read it again. Brother Bam, and the world is falling apart. Now, a while ago, it was the falling apart of the world, but this is another time he preached it, and it's called The World is Falling Apart. In our religion, I don't see how it could get any worse than it is now. The whole thing is corrupt. Our political world, man-made systems, fashions, we want everything, just everything, so we can take it easy and retire and take it easy. Life wasn't intended to be easy. Life is a struggle. Anything that's got life is struggling. Look at the trees, how they struggle. Look at everything that's got life. It's a struggle. And Brother Rem says, and when we try to get some kind of system that takes it easy, then we're wrong. We know there's something wrong. We spend all of our time wanting everything smooth. And it's wrong. It's wrong to have that mentality. He says, we know we're wrong. When we're looking and seeking something that's going to be, you know, like I had a couple of friends at work retire a couple of days ago. And we all think about, oh, retirement, retirement, retirement. That whole concept. Life is to be a struggle. We are to push all the way through for the kingdom of heaven. And so we know something's wrong. When what we want is just an easy system. So,
I want to read you something here in contrast to what I've been sharing on Wednesday night about Sermon on the Mount. Because, you know, Jesus said, blessed are you when you mourn, and blessed are you when you suffer, and blessed are you, blessed are the peacemakers. We're all familiar with that. But the way this modern world, and so much of the time it seems like a lot of us, you know, by our actions, we act like that a blessed life is different than what Jesus said. So this is kind of an opposite. Blessed are you who have never needed spiritual uplifting. You know, he said, Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Poor need something. Right? You need. So the way people act, the way they express, is that they believe that being blessed is, hey, I've never had any troubles. I've never had a need to mourn. Right? You talk to people in the world and say, yeah, I've never said, man, that's a blessed man. He's never had any bad thing happen to him. He's never mourned. Right? That's the way people think about it. But that's not what Jesus said. Jesus did not say, you're blessed when you've never had to mourn. Jesus said, blessed are those that mourn. So he's trying to tell you that this kingdom is coming to a people. And it's not the ruling class, and it's not those that are all, but it's generally, as James said, it's generally the poor in this world are the ones that come to the gospel. Blessed are you who've never mourned. Blessed are you who are not meek, but impatient, assertive, and overbearing. This is, I'm going to have my way, and I'm going to get what I want, and they say, oh yeah, look how successful, he just fought his way to the top. But Jesus said, blessed are the meek. Blessed are you who've never hungered or thirsted after righteousness, because you make no mistakes. You live right all the time. Blessed are you who destroy peace by telling others false instead of concealing the matter. Blessed are you that have figured out to live a Christian life in such a way that you don't receive persecution. Blessed are you when you've never been reviled, persecuted, or spoke evil against falsely. Blessed are you that are in have high positions of authority and you don't have to be accountable to anyone. You see what I'm saying? This is not what Jesus taught us. But our mindset is all a blessed life. You know, we don't have any troubles. We're successful, financial. We've made our way to the top. We get our way. We don't have to answer. We can do whatever we want. So many people in the world, and if we're not careful, we're thinking that way. But the life that Jesus said was a blessed life is not this. The life that he said is blessed is a life that's been under burden and persecuted and under. You see what I'm saying? And unless we pick up our cross daily and follow him, you can't be a part of it if Christ is not living through you, suffering through you. Amen? So, our idea of blessings is wrong. You know, why rejoice when you're persecuted? Because God never forgets. And he has a greater reward for those who have expressed him on this earth and have received persecution because of it. You know, in every realm that I know of, it's survival of the fittest. In the woods, in the water, wherever it is, it's survival of the fittest. And in the kingdom of heaven, who is fittest? Jesus Christ. Him and his church. But that's not this world. That's a spiritual world we're birthed into that will not pass away. So he is the fittest one. So he'll be the one that survives, and so will all his people. While everyone else in the world is conquering the world and taking the bull by the horns, and while they're doing all of that, they're spiritually dying. They're dead. But while the bride of Christ is sitting here and she's not doing that, she's alive. She's alive with revelation. She's found herself in the Beloved. We know that the way up, according to the scriptures, says the way up is down. Right? The way up in a rapture is to go down in humility, accepting the word and surrendering to it. And so, just almost done here, just 7 pages I've covered in pretty much same amount of time as we normally have. We look to too many places for comfort. Brother Bram says in Broken Cisterns, he says, and this is where we have to search our own hearts, each one of us, right? Because you have to do this for yourself. You know, your walk with God, you've got to be that child birthed into the kingdom of heaven, that child of God, not a grandchild, not a friend of a child. You've got to be that child that's been birthed into the kingdom of heaven. So you've got to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Or you've got to get on that ground like Jacob did, where you wrestle with the Lord and you know that you've walked away, and in this flesh you're weak and you're limping, but you've got the promise of God. And no matter what happens in this natural world, you've got the promise of God. And then you can rejoice. You can say, let them do what they want. Listen, look what Jesus did. Well, all the things they did to him, he just kept his mouth shut, was right on and fulfilled the word. And when can we come to that place? I mean, it's like, if we get offended, brother, we're going to let it be known. Jesus didn't. See what I'm saying? There's more of Christ as the songs and things, more of Christ. But Brother Bim said in Broken Cisterns, he says, any other thing outside of Jesus Christ and his word of life is a broken cistern. Now, you know, in that sermon, he talks about a cistern, you know, like you catch water into this cistern and it gets all stagnant and gets bugs and it's all that. That's what people are drinking out of. It's nasty and it's unhealthy. But some places, like, you know, and if you think about it, they say that most of the world doesn't have clean water. Right? We're blessed to have clean water, I think, maybe. Not sure. But natural typing, spiritual. Why is so many waters of the world polluted? Because of what man's done. Why is the gospel so polluted? Because of what man has done, right? Not the real gospel, but they've polluted it. See? But Brother Bim says, you don't want to drink out of a cistern, a broken cistern or whatever. You want to drink out of something that's flowing, a flowing stream of water with life in it. And so he says, any other thing outside of Jesus Christ and his word is a broken cistern. Anything that tries to substitute it, anything that you try to do to bring you peace, anything that you try to do to bring you comfort, any kind of joy that you receive from anything else, did you hear what he said? Any other source, no matter what it is, if it's not coming from this living word, any kind of joy that you receive from anything else is a substitute for this. It's a broken cistern full of filth. He gives you perfect satisfaction. So anything that you try to substitute, anything that you try to do to bring you peace, anything that you try to do to bring you comfort, any kind of joy that you receive from anywhere else is a substitute. We get too much entertainment, too much comfort, too much peace, too much joy from so many other things, and it's all broken cisterns. Because it all fades away, every bit of it, because it's not eternal life. But the one thing it is this living word coming from Jesus Christ. And so, this is why we want Christ in all things. Every aspect. Even to the point where it hurts physically. But to know and rejoice that this spirit and glory of God rest on you, as we read there a little while ago. And as I've said so many times, you know, it's not the guy down the street that you're not close with.
but it's gonna hurt you or offend you so much, or whatever. It's gonna be those close to you. They're the ones. We have to forgive. And you say, well, I can forgive, but I can't forget. Well, there's a very thin line between forgiving and not forgetting, you know. But it's going to be those that are close to you that, as I've said, you know, when they throw that clay up on the potter's wheel, and the master wants to make maybe a bowl out of it that he can eat soup out of or something like that. Well, that lump of clay is not a bowl. It's this big old glob just sitting there. So how do you get from that glob to a bowl? And the way you get it is by the pressure of the master's hand coming upon you and saying, you must change. You must become what I want you to be. And he is the potter, and we are the clay. And the potter, the clay, cannot say, why have you made me thus? We can't ask him, well, why this, why that? Just be still and know that he's God and he knows what he's doing with you. He knows what you're going through. And it's for a purpose. And you'll come out on the other side rejoicing and with exceeding joy, as we read. It takes that pressure to change you. You can't stay the way you are. And you can say, I've been a Christian for all these years. I've been in the message all these years. And you're still a lump of clay that needs some pressure. And he's the potter. He's the one doing it. So during those times, realize that during those times, this is part of it. This is what it is. It takes that pressure. When Jesus came to this earth and said, I've come here to do the will of my Father, and to go from him saying that to fulfilling the will of the Father, was a life of persecution and suffering on Calvary. That's how he got there. And it's the same for us. We say, you know what? Death doesn't change us. It just changed our dwelling place. And so the character we have to rule over there, we've got to get it here. And so from right now to the place where we've got the character ready to set on that kingdom, there's a pathway between here and there. How are we going to get from who we are today to where what we need to be there? And it will not be from being blessed and not ever having any sorrows and not ever having any trials, nothing ever coming along. It's not going to be that. We're going to get from point A to point B to being exactly what he wants us to be by the pressure of his hand on our life. And he has access to everything. He has access to every portion of your life, your health, your finances, your family, your job. Please tell me, is there anything he doesn't have access to? He has access to all of it. So no matter what comes your way, if you're a son of God or a daughter of God, just say, you know what? I know that he knows what he's doing. And so what I'm going to equip myself with as I go through this trial is, Lord, what do you need out of it? What do you need from me? What do you need to change in me? What are you really revealing to me? What do I need to surrender to you that I haven't so far? That's what it is. It's all about that. To get from point A to point B, it goes through that pathway. It won't happen any other way. You can take a piece of metal, and you can change that piece of metal, but you'll have to pound on it, or you'll have to heat it with fire. It don't just lay there and happen. You'll have to put in a press that'll bend it. And when it bends, that'll get hot where it bends it. You see what I'm saying? I mean, it doesn't change. You're not going to change unless you go through something. And you won't be an overcomer on that side unless there's something you overcame. And you can't be an overcomer if there's not something you have to fight against. And that's the life of a Christian. And so that's what we want Christ in all things, including the fact that we go through trials, that it's him. He knows exactly. The program is not out of his control. He's not lost control. The only thing he does is permit Satan. He permits Satan to do things, but that's just a tool in his hand. And Satan can't do anything unless God allows it. Amen? It's easy to say that standing here in church in the environment of the Word, but when you get out there on the job or wherever, and then you're going through it and Satan's speaking to you and saying to you, you're going through this because of this, because of that. You're not a son of God. You did this. You should have done that. It's all just a bunch of nonsense. Just say, Satan, get behind me. I belong to Jesus Christ. He's my potter. I'm his clay. He knows what he's doing. I'm trusting him. And leave it at that. And just trust the Lord. Amen. So we want this message to pull us out of all this nonsense into a revelated life, which brings a life of humility. Amen. May the Lord bless you. Let the musicians come. So merciful to us, and so that you would come by our way in this day, Lord, and speak truth to us. I pray, Lord, that we would be like that woman at the well, as though we've been through many things in our lives and many deceptions have come along and swayed us different ways. Lord, but may this time, this word be the thing that quickens us, that our testimony will change and we'll know that you are the Messiah working in our lives. We love you, Lord. We just pray that these things that have been said, that you would seal them away in the hearts of your people as always. Lord, that they would just meditate upon these things, search them out in Scripture, search them out in the message, Lord, that they'd find it in. So we ask, God, that you'd speak to them. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand and worship for a little bit. Through a trial, I don't want to be able to reach down inside me and draw something out that's not healed. I mentioned Wednesday night about our natural reactions, you know, pain. We jerk away from pain, something that happens. And I mentioned a man that I used to work with years and years ago. And he had, I don't know, caught a big fish, won something, I don't know. And I had just gotten a shot in my arm and it was hurt really bad. He came up to me and grabbed me real quick, excited to tell me about this, you know. And I just jerked away from him. I said, "Get your hand off of me," or, you know. And he looks at me like that. A professing Christian goes to this place on top of the hill. He jumps back with this look and he said, "I wouldn't put you out if you were on fire, and I'll let you figure out what he said, how he wouldn't do it." How is it that he could even come down, reach down into him, and pull that out? This is what I'm talking about. Brother, sister, this is real. This struggle of life is real. And when Christ is in there, he can go to the slaughter and not open his mouth. Can you do that? That man didn't do it, right? He was just offended because I pulled my arm away from him. But he was able to reach down there and pull something out that was not Jesus Christ. Now, I told you he did come later and apologize. But he shouldn't have been able to even come there, right? He shouldn't have even been able to go down in there and pull that out and say and do something like that the way he did. And I say that so that you could examine your life and we could say, "Lord, what about me? When I go through trials, when I go through troubles, I don't want to be able to come in there and pull out something that's me. I want it to be Jesus Christ." That's our target, brother and sister. That is our target. May the Lord richly bless you as we sing this evening.